So this morning I want to look at the God who delivers. We serve a God who does deliver. And we can only overcome all the things of this world through him, through his spirit and through his power. You and I, we are in a spiritual warfare, a battle that we have to fight, but we have to fight it in God's strength if we're going to experience his deliverance in our lives. God is a God of deliverance, and 2 Samuel 22 and verse 2 and 3 says this. He said, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge and my saviour. From violent people you save me." 2 Corinthians 10, 3-4 says, For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. God is a deliverer of his people. He fights for his people. He's not, as the world likes to portray Jesus, meek and mild, gentle Jesus, meek and mild. He's not a pacifist, but in Exodus 15, it tells us in verse 3 that our God is a man of war, and he wants you and I to experience and to know his deliverance in our lives. We are called to fight as believers, but in his strength, to wage war against the world, the flesh, and the devil. And God has given us an armoury, but we have to learn to fight. And only then can we know his power in the battle. And when Israel came into the promised land, God left them with some of the enemies. He didn't just defeat all their enemies at once, but he left them some enemies in the land so that they'd learn to fight and to test their obedience. And deliverance comes when we're obedient to God, when we step out in faith and we fight as God trains us to. In the book of Judges, in chapter 3, verse 1-4, it says, "Now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan, only that the generations of the children of Israel might know to teach them war, at the least such as before knew nothing thereof, namely 5 lords of the Philistines, and all the Canaanites, and the Sidonians, and the Hivites that dwelt in Mount Lebanon, from Mount Baal Hermon unto the entering in of Hamath. And they were to prove Israel by them, to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses." God fights for his people, but he also wants us to learn to fight. Psalm 34, 17-19 says, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." Many are the afflictions of the righteous. It's not always an easy ride, is it, serving God? So let's look today how God delivers. So with God, there is deliverance that is immediate and there is deliverance that takes time. We all like the instant deliverance, don't we? We're not very patient. We all want our problems solved here and now. And it would be great if when you first get saved that the rest of your life would be all trouble-free and all of your problems would be solved, all of your habits would be instantly gone and evaporated, all of your struggles would be over and there'd be no more difficulties in your life. In fact, it'd be better if we just went straight to paradise, wouldn't it, and didn't have to hang around in this messed up world. But that's not what God's will is, and it's not what the Bible promises, is it? We're told that in this world we will have tribulation. that we will face temptation, that our faith will be tested, that those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. I don't see promises that life's going to be trouble-free, or we're never going to get sick, or face any distress or difficulty. What we do read of in the Bible is enduring hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6:4, verse 4, "But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labours, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armour of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honour and dishonour, by evil reports and good reports, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well-known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things." This is, you know, the Christian life, isn't it? What's all this having nothing, being sorrowful, being poor, being unknown, dying, chastened, dishonoured, being reported of evil, long-suffering, tumults, fastings, imprisonments, labours, watchings, stripes, afflictions, necessities and distresses? Doesn't sound too much like health, wealth and prosperity, does it, really? Sounds a bit like it might not all be roses and light. Sounds a bit like we may have a battle on our hands. We may face a bit of an uphill struggle if we're going to serve God and want to do his will. Doesn't always sound like it's going to be an easy ride serving God. Sounds like occasionally we're going to have to get our hands dirty and put up a fight. You see, the Christian life is a battle, isn't it? No matter how much we might like the easy life, and there's none of us here, I'm sure, that don't. The truth is, if you want to serve God, we're going to have to be willing to face some problems along the way, from both within and from without. We are in a war zone in this world. We're fighting principalities and powers in the heavenly realms. We have a sinful fleshly nature that opposes us in serving God. Often the hardest opposition that we face comes from within our own flesh, not to mention the world and the devil. So how does God deliver us? Well, sometimes God's deliverance is immediate, as we've said, and we love it when it is. You know, when we first get saved, the big sins tend to drop off quickly. Deliverance is often immediate. And I'm sure we can all see when we first got saved in our lives, a lot of the things that we were involved in dropped off quite quickly. But some things we have to battle with in our lives, don't we, over time? You know, God transforms us on the inside, in our heart and mind. And sometimes it's instant, and praise God when it is. But sometimes God does leave us with some enemies to fight. Just like he did with Israel, where he left a number of enemies in the land so that he could train their hands to war. And also so he could see what was in their heart to test them, to see if they were obedient. See, God wants to train us to fight. He wants us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He trains our hands for war. He wants us to learn to fight the enemy. He allows our faith to be tested. He allows difficulties to come our way so that we can learn to overcome through the power of Christ. Anyone who's a parent knows that if you just do everything for your children, they'll never mature, they'll never become independent, they'll never learn self-discipline, and they won't be ready to live in the real world. Nothing is learnt in life without a struggle. You can never know the joy of success fully unless you've experienced failure as well. We never appreciate the value of things unless you've had nothing. You see, without a struggle, we'll never mature in the faith. God allows us to be tempted. It's not that God tempts us, but the Bible says, doesn't it, that we're tempted when we're drawn away by our own desires and lusts. But temptation does come to all of us in the Christian life. But through Jesus Christ, we can overcome. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." If you notice in that scripture, it doesn't say that God will take the temptation away. And don't think when you've resisted temptation, it will go away. But what the Bible does promise us is that we'll be able to bear it. Deliverance doesn't mean no temptation. You'll always face temptation. But we can learn to fight the desire to give in to the temptation through the grace and power of God. You know, God didn't take Paul's thorn in the flesh away. Though he asked God 3 times, didn't he, to deliver him from it, the Lord simply said that his grace was sufficient. His strength was made perfect in weakness. Sometimes we do fail under the pressure of temptation. We're all human and weak, and the Bible says, though, that if a good man fails, he can fall 7 times and rise up. Proverbs 24:16 says, "For a righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again." You may have issues in your life that have dogged you for years as a Christian, areas where you still struggle, and you may have prayed and prayed and still struggle. And it can be discouraging having to keep getting up again and again. But don't lose heart, because through all the struggles, God has not abandoned us and he's still working in us. Indeed, has not this thing taught you perseverance, patience, endurance, things that can only be learned through a real struggle? And God often uses the weak areas of our lives to work in us to produce greater faith, to produce long suffering and patience, and to teach us to fight. There's a hobby some people have called lapidary, and it's basically polishing precious stones. And to do this, they'll get a rough stone and use grit to polish the surface. And it's only by the continual abrasion against the stone that the true colours and beauty come through. And God allows the grit of temptations and trials to wear against us to form in us the character and nature of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would become more Christ-like through the trials and struggles of life. As we learn to rely on God when we're weak, as we learn to lean upon his grace when we fall, as we learn that God is there to catch us and doesn't fail us, as we learn often through hardship that God really is faithful, that he's not just some words on a page or something that we've heard in a sermon, but in the actuality of our life, we found him to be faithful. That he's come through when the chips are down. That he's met our need when we needed him most. God is always at work in our lives, even when we can't see it. Even when he feels far away and the heavens seem like brass, he's always there, because his ways are not our ways, are they? His plans are not our plans. He works according to his wisdom, which is far above our wisdom. He knows the beginning from the end. He sees the big picture in our lives, whereas we only see what's in front of us. God is shaping us and crafting us to be more like Christ. And sometimes that means having to go through the fire to face the heat of tribulation. And, you know, if our faith is true, then the trials of life will strengthen us. James 1:2-3 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Romans 5:1-5, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." It's learning to persevere in trials that brings about true character in our lives. When we learn to overcome unrighteousness, when we learn to live with integrity, when we learn to say no to sin and compromise, God gives us the power to obey, but we have to cooperate, and it can only be learned through being tested. And if we fail, then we need to get back up and repent and look to God again for strength and continue to fight. See, we're not alone in this battle. God fights the battle. We have to trust him and obey his word to fight, to pray, to seek him, to put on that heavenly armour. And he teaches our hands to war. He teaches our fingers to fight. See, God's not a sugar daddy this morning. How can we be overcomers if we've never had anything to overcome? He won't just hand it all to us on a plate. He's given us all we need. The shield of faith, the sword of the spirit, the helmet of salvation. But we have to put that armour on. We need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ daily. Make no provision for the flesh, it says, to fulfil its lusts. Romans 13:11-14 says this. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armour of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfil its lusts. There's something we have to do here. We have to cast off the works of darkness. We have to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we do this? Through continual faith and prayer and repentance and stepping out in obedience to God. You know, we're under a false gospel if we think that a day will come when we won't be tempted. Except the day when we go to be with the Lord or be raptured or by death. Until then, we're living in a body that's made of weak, corrupted flesh, and the only way we're going to overcome in this life is by continually abiding in Christ. We won't do it through religion or through gritting our teeth and hoping for the best or through self-righteousness, because that will only wear us out. It's only by the power and grace of God that we can fight, that we can overcome, that we can resist temptation, that we can say no to sin. It's only by putting on the Lord Jesus that we can die to self, to the sin, to the world, to the flesh, to the devil. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. We can't rely on us, only on him. And don't think that because you've overcome this week that you can't fail next week. Temptation always comes back around. The devil will always try again and again to trip us up. He persists. He doesn't give up trying to destroy us because he knows our weakness. He knows we have times when we're vulnerable to temptation, and that's when he strikes, when we're under pressure, when we're facing difficulty, when we're desperate, when we're ill or tired or in need. That's when we get struck. When we're not prepared, we can fall. But hopefully, as we learn through these trials his tactics, we can also learn to fight, to resist, to wage war through God's power, through the power of the Lord and the authority that's in Christ, that we can learn to fight, and therefore we can grow from being babes to being young men to being fathers in the Lord, that we can become seasoned warriors and prepared for battle. But we can't be complacent in the fight, can we? Because all of us can fail. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 1 to 13 says this. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you, except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. What Paul is saying is, we're no better than those who God brought out of Egypt. We face the same temptations that they did, to lust, to complain against God, to worship idols of silver and gold, the love of money, sexual immorality, all the lust of the flesh. But he says that through Christ, we can bear such temptations and not give in to those lusts. We can escape through the power of the Lord and overcome. But remember that deliverance doesn't mean an end to temptation, which is why we are called to be diligent, to be sober-minded, because all of us can be tripped up, can't we? Let's not put ourselves into situations where we're vulnerable to temptation. We need to guard our heart, our eyes, our mind from all that is around and can tempt us. And we all have different weaknesses. With some of us, it's our bad tempers. With others, it's pride and arrogance. With others, it's money and possessions. With others, it's lust and sexual immorality and a whole host of fleshly vices. We have to guard ourselves and keep close to the Lord. And then we will be able, those that will who have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and be called overcomers. Revelations 3 and 5 says, he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. Revelations 3:21, to him who overcomes I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. And verse 7, he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. And finally, 1 John 2:14, I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. We're called to overcome. We're called to be delivered and be victorious through Christ. But we have to look to him, don't we? Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, that you give us the strength that we need to fight this battle, this daily battle that we're in, Lord, against the world, the flesh and the devil. Strengthen us, we pray, Lord God, that we might look to you, that we might rely upon you and not upon our own strength and our own flesh. Help us, Lord God, to guard our heart with all diligence and know that you are with us each and every day to help us and strengthen us. In Jesus' name, amen.